Inflation appears to be slowing down after the consumer price index showed inflation declining from the 7.1% rate in November to 6.5% in December. That's generally seen as good-ish news for the economy, but the Federal Reserve is still hoping to see inflation drop to 2% or so. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What does inflation look like to you? Have you seen improvements in things that are important to you that you spend money on regularly? What questions do you have about inflation, efforts to deal with it, possible impacts on the rest of the economy? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Kenneth West is the John D. MacArthur Professor of Economics at UW-Madison. Ken, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, of course. It's a pleasure.
Let's start with this news, the inflation numbers for December. Some improvement. I don't think anybody ran out and danced in the streets for it. How big a deal is it, though, that we're seeing at least some decline in inflation?
Well, Rob, in fact, we're seeing a kind of persistent decline in inflation. You mentioned that the annual inflation rate over the last 12 months has been 6.5%. That's kind of an average of the first 6 months of the last year was very high, 8 or 9%. The last 6 months, it's been lower, 3 or 4%. You average those out, you get to the 6.5% that you mentioned. So inflation has really been very relatively moderate for the last 3 months, last 6 months, 3 to 4%. As you say, the Fed is hoping to get it down to 2%, so they don't consider their job done yet. But the 6.5 is a little misleading.
Yeah, how so? What might be a better way to look at that number?
Well, you can split into the trend. As I say, the trend is coming down. The 6.5 is an accurate figure, but what matters is not only the level, but the trend. And as I say, the trend is inflation's falling. A year ago, it was 8 or 9%. The past few months, it's been less than 2%. And in fact, in December, the most recent month that the data are available, inflation actually fell very slightly, minus 0.1%. That doesn't mean it's going to keep falling. There's a lot of month-to-month variation in the numbers. It does mean that's an optimistic sign that we're moving in the right direction from very high inflation, moving down to moderate inflation. And as you say, the Fed is hoping to get us down to low inflation. We're kind of at 3% now, roughly 3 to 4% in the last several months.
Now, I know there were some arguments about exactly what was causing that high inflation, and maybe that's part of the answer to this question. What is leading inflation to come down now?
In terms of the high inflation, there's really maybe three things that have been proposed. One of them, of course, is supply chain issues that followed on the pandemic. With everything shut down, it took a long time to get things started. People weren't spending any money, and they were eager to spend it once we were allowed to go out of our houses and go to restaurants and so on. There's a lot of money chasing goods. They're having a hard time arriving where the money was. So one thing is the supply chain issues combined with pent-up household demand. The second is the American Rescue Plan, which in hindsight, the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan was perhaps the negative side effect of pushing up inflation. The final thing is the disruptions from the war in Ukraine. Now, in terms of those, the effects of the American Rescue Plan Act have largely died out. Supply chain issues are largely gone. The disruptions from the Ukraine war, it showed up in gas prices, oil prices, that seems to be diminishing. So on all three accounts, the federal spending, the supply chain issues, the disruptions from the Ukraine war, we seem to be in the right direction. And of course, it's not a guarantee. Something horrible could happen in the Ukraine or elsewhere. But right now, we seem to be moving in the right direction.
Now, when we say inflation overall, I think that's covering up a lot of variation. We see the price of eggs still hanging up there, in part because of avian flu. We see some prices settling down, housing costs up. I could go on all day. Where do you see inflation being stubbornly persistent? Where do you see prices coming down that's driving this decline in overall inflation?
Well, prices coming down, one that's very salient to many people is gas prices. I think the last time I bought gas here in Madison, there's going to be some variation, of course, across the state. I think I paid about $3.30 a gallon, something like that, $3.30, $3.40. 6 or 9 months ago, I was paying $4.40, $4.50. I don't remember exactly. So gas prices are coming down. A major contributor to the overall inflation rate was high housing costs, high rents, and those seem to have stabilized. In fact, goods prices, cars also seem to have stabilized. Going in the opposite direction, mortgage rates have gone way up, so that's going to be tough for people trying to pay how trying to buy houses. So on the good side, what seems to have happened is gas prices, maybe car prices. On the bad side, it kind of seems services are now maybe picking up a little.
Talking to Ken West, economist at UW-Madison, looking at the latest news on inflation. As we've heard, trends moving in a downward direction. Good news overall for the economy. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions. Where do you see inflation affecting your own financial well-being the most? Are you noticing gas prices going down if you buy diesel? How is that looking for you? What do you see at the grocery store if you're shopping for big ticket items like cars or houses? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Ken, the Federal Reserve has been reacting to inflation for a while. They have one main tool, those interest rates that play into those mortgage rates you just mentioned. They've been doing bigger increases. What is the thinking now with these better inflation numbers about what the Federal Reserve may or may not do in the months to come?
Sure. Let's just review first of all what the Fed's thinking is, which is they control a certain overnight rate used just within the banking system. It's a rate that neither you nor I nor any of your listeners would have access to. But all interest rates are connected, and when they raise this intra-bank rate, that kind of raises all interest rates. So 30-year mortgages are up above 6% now. A year ago, before the Fed started hiking, it was 3%. So the Fed's idea is, as they raise the interest rate that they control, that propagates through the economy, raising mortgage rates and other interest rates, and that slows down interest-sensitive spending, where housing is very interest sensitive. Now you're going to pay for a house, it's highly sensitive to what your mortgage rate is. Car buying is highly interest sensitive. One's sensitivity to the car price depends a lot on the interest rate you're paying if you're financing the car. So that's their thinking. They raise an interest rate that they control, it propagates to the economy. Spending slows down. If spending slows down, there's not as much money chasing a given amount of goods, and inflation will slow down. So that's their thinking. Now, the rates we see, like mortgage rates, as I say, are above 6%. I'm going to quote this bank rate that the Fed controls. They raised it from essentially zero to about 4%. Current thinking, including mine, consensus, is they're probably going to keep raising it. Their own prediction is they're going to keep raising it, probably at least another 0.5% over the next 6 months, maybe as much as 1%. If they do that, the rates that we face for mortgages and car loans are also going to go up. So what's going to happen? As you said, the Fed is not quite happy with inflation. They're roughly running 3%. They want it down to 2%. Probably over the coming year, they're going to raise interest rates a bit, but much less dramatically than they've raised it over the past year. Again, it went from 0 to 4. Now we're talking 4 up to 4.5, maybe 4.75%. And again, this is the interest rate that they control, which is not identical to the interest rates that we see in our mortgages and banking.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Liz is with us in Hartford. Liz, hi.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I just turned on the radio and heard your guest say that gas prices are going down and prices are stabilizing. I paid $4.99 for a dozen eggs yesterday, and I filled my tank today at $3.24 per gallon. 2 weeks ago, that was $3.09. So I'm not quite sure where your guest is from, but in Hartford, prices are not stabilizing and gas is not getting cheaper.
Liz, thanks for the call. Now, big picture, gas has gone down over a bunch of months, but Liz just hit on two things that are kind of weird to measure in inflation. Food prices and gas, those tend to be more volatile, and there are different measures of inflation that include or exclude those. Ken, can you talk about that a little?
Sure. Liz, first of all, thanks for your question. Two comments. First of all, eggs are in a special category, so special that it's been throughout the media about what's happening to eggs. I'm not an expert on this, but as I understand it, there's been some avian flu,
exactly,
which has made the egg prices skyrocket. It's not to say it's good or something we should ignore that egg prices are going up. It's just a statement that there's something special in eggs, which probably doesn't apply to the rest of the economy. In terms of gas prices, I endorse what Rob said. Overall, they've been going down. They kind of fluctuate up and down, but the trend is clear. So Liz, certainly for me, earlier in the year, I was paying, $4.40, $4.50 a gallon. As I said, I think it was about $3.30 the last time I bought it. I understand from you that $3.10 not too long ago. $3.10 is better than $3.30. We'd like to get it back down to $3.10. But again, to me, the trend is clear. They are broadly, gas prices are broadly coming down. I mentioned gas prices and food prices are so volatile that within the world of people who specialize in terms of thinking about inflation and thinking about monetary policy, there's another inflation rate called core inflation that simply strips out the volatile components, for example, food and gas. And in fact, the Fed is probably looking more at those than at overall inflation, because their view is no matter what they do, the gas prices are going to jump up and down and food prices are going to jump up and down. Whereas what they really affect with their interest rate hikes is things like purchases of cars and houses. Now, this core inflation measure is running roughly the same as the overall inflation measure. It's been coming down over the last year. It's also at 3 to 4%. For what it's worth, I mentioned that in December, the overall inflation rate had fallen by a tiny amount. In fact, the core inflation rate rose. And the difference between those, Liz and Rob and other listeners, is really gas prices. Gas prices continue to come down. And when you combine gas prices, the overall inflation rate went down, whereas if you strip them out, as is done in among economists and people who study inflation and monetary policy, overall inflation went up. So overall, the picture looks good, whether you strip out gas and food or whether you include gas or food.
Liz, thanks for calling in with the Local Report. I appreciate it. We're talking to Ken West, professor of economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, looking at reports showing a decrease in inflation. Federal Reserve still hoping to get it down more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about inflation slowing down? What do you see driving that? How did inflation affect your life? Are you seeing improvements, or are you in one of those challenging categories looking for a house and looking at the cost of that mortgage right now? Do you have questions about the economics of this, how it all works? Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Ken West, professor of economics at UW-Madison, about inflation slowing down, what it means for consumers, the overall economy. Still time for you to join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. If you are a person who buys stuff, what have you seen? Have you seen some improvements in stuff that you spend money on regularly? If you're looking to buy something in particular, house, car, say, what are you seeing if you sell those things? Love to hear your side of the story, too. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ken, we keep mentioning and hearing that the Federal Reserve would like to get inflation back down to 2%. I wanted to ask about that. As a consumer, we might think, I'd like inflation to be 0% so prices don't go up on stuff. It seems like it's generally seen as healthy to have that little bit of inflation year to year. Why is that?
Well, there are two reasons, Rob. The first thing is it's generally considered that the inflation rate, you ready for this? It overstates the inflation rate. It assumes essentially that you're buying the same things over and over, which is a good way to measure inflation. But in fact, when the price of something goes up, people tend to substitute into other things, which means their overall spending doesn't rise quite as fast as the rate of inflation. So one reason for it is when things are going up by 2%, the typical consumer doesn't really pay 2% more because they kind of stop buying some of the more expensive things. The second reason has to do with, as we talked about, the Fed raises interest rates to slow down the economy, slow down inflation. It lowers interest rates when it wants to stimulate the economy. So it raises interest rates typically when inflation's getting out of hand. It lowers interest rates when it thinks unemployment is too high. Now, it can't lower interest rates below zero. So it is generally considered there's a good idea to keep this 2% inflation rate that keeps normal interest rates above 2% and gives the Fed some room to cut interest rates by a few percent when they want to cut interest rates to stimulate the economy.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Rich is with us in Wanakee. Rich, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Talking to a non-economist here, but I have a question about the Inflation Reduction Act. So I had heard from another source that had some of that spending been more targeted, and I have a feeling that this is the way a lot of large government bills are maybe distributed, but does it matter if there's a large portion of a bill that's targeted, like specific to something versus like just a large bucket of money for something or some things? And I'll take my question or answer off the air. Thank you for your show.
Rich, thanks a lot for calling in. Yeah, the Inflation Reduction Act, like a lot of big federal government spending things, might say, here's some money for states to use as they see fit. Ultimately, Ken, does, the labeling, the bucketing of that money or not matter when it comes to inflation?
Well, sure. I'm afraid I couldn't be tell you the specifics about what might change in the Inflation Reduction Act to make it different. But the argument for the Inflation Reduction Act in terms of targeting was targeting certain investments that would pay off in the future. So the Congressional Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan agency that rates federal acts, estimated that the Inflation Reduction Act was going to reduce deficits by some $200 billion over the next 10 years. And you ask, how can spending reduce deficits? And the idea was it's going to be investment in new technologies that would pay off in the future. So yes, what it's aimed at matters. That act was intended to be aimed for things that would be good for inflation rather than bad for inflation. And again, good in the sense of it's investments that'll pay off in the future.
Thanks a lot for calling in with that question. Ken, I think the worry all along with, apart from inflation in and of itself, was that with these interest rate rises, the economy would slow down so much we might enter a recession. And so we might have good news, inflation's down to 2%, bad news, unemployment's up to whatever, 9%. What are you looking at to see if that recession, that increase in unemployment is going to happen?
Well, that's an excellent point, Rob. That's, in fact, historically, the Fed has never been able to get inflation substantially down without entering a recession. Now, there's always the first time for everything, so let's hope it's the first time right now. But a substantial reduction in inflation has historically in the U.S. always entailed a recession. Now, what's good news in terms of being cautiously optimistic about not entering a recession is despite the interest rate hikes, the labor market is still looking good. The last unemployment rate was 3.5%, and that is a five-decade low. It has not been that low in 50 years. It's very slightly better than some unemployment rates we've had in the previous several years. So that's good. Consistent with that, the government collects data not only on unemployment, but on the flip side of job openings. And there are many more job openings than there are unemployed people. And that it would be highly, highly unusual in a recession. Now, the future is uncertain. Who knows what's going to happen? It could well be that while things look good now, Rob, you get back to me in 3 months and 6 months and say, what the heck? You said we can be cautiously optimistic. And look at that. Unemployment was 3.5%. Now it's 5.5%. That could happen. So I would say we're kind of a 50-50 chance in terms of avoiding a recession, in terms of my own odds. I would say Wall Street prognosticators are mostly predicting a mild recession. Some think we can avoid it.
And Ken, in just our last minute or so, what are you watching for next to help answer some of these as yet unanswerable questions?
I would continue to look at, in terms for recession, continue to look at the labor market, continue to look at the unemployment rate, continue to look at the level of job openings relative to the unemployed. And on inflation, I think one should focus on this concept of core inflation, where you strip out the food, strip out the eggs and the gas, because that is something that tends to persist and not jump up and down from month to month. You can get a better idea of the trend by looking at core inflation. So core inflation, number one, and unemployment relative to job openings, number two.
Ken, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me on the show.
That's Kenneth West, the John D. MacArthur Professor of Economics at UW-Madison. He joined us to talk about inflation slowing down in the most recent numbers, what that could mean for consumers and for the economy as a whole.